This program is all Rachmaninoff. Is there an arc to it or a narrative to it?
All the works we're playing here are very, very important to me. So let's start with the fourth piano concerto. That's a concerto which had a really problematic history. It was written as the first work Rachmaninoff attempted to write after his emigration from Russia, which, as we know, had a very strong knockdown effect on him. He lost the inspiration for a moment. There seemed to be absolutely no way forward for him as a composer. So he tried this in 1928, and the concerto was obviously not a success. Then, in 1941, he revisited the concerto and wrote a new version of it, which was premiered here in Philadelphia, which got recorded.
He was the soloist.
Rachmaninoff was obviously the soloist. And then after he made the recording, he took a few further adjustments, some amendments in the orchestral and the piano part, which are not on the recording he made, but they are in the parts which are still preserved here in the library. For some reason, the fourth piano concerto is still not performed as often as it deserves. Probably the reason for that being its immense difficulty in the interplay between the orchestra and the soloist. In fact, it's more a concerto for the orchestra with a solo piano. And I always wanted to play it here, in the place where it was basically reborn. The main work on the program, The Bells, is of course belonging to the most famous works Rachmaninoff has written. The work is divided in four movements following the four parts of the Edgar Allan Poe poem.
Right, it's the setting of Edgar Allan Poe's
The Bells. And you have four types of bells: the bells of the childhood and youth, the marriage bells of the young adult age, the alarming bells of the age of war, and the funereal bells of the old age and death. This poem was sent to him by an anonymous admirer. It was a woman.
Really?
Yeah, who sent him the poem. She was in love with Rachmaninoff, probably more as an artist. She didn't know him as a man, but she insisted he should read this poem in the Russian translation. And Rachmaninoff did, and this work was created on the eve of the First World War, 1913. A year later, the war broke out in Europe. And you can hear the premonition of the war in this third movement, which is written for, rather unusually, for the chorus solo and the orchestra. In every other movement, you have a vocal soloist. The third movement has got no soloists, so the choir becomes the soloistic presence. And the choral part in this movement is so hard that most of the time we would hear it in a simplified version. Rachmaninoff himself has left this third movement in three different variants. The most complex one, which we're going to undertake, there is a slightly simplified one, and then there is a much simplified one, which he arranged for an amateur choir in Vienna in 1936. And also the interesting thing is that despite the presence of the choir and the soloist, it is very much a symphony in four movements, and it should be, in my opinion, interpreted as a symphony.
Can you explain what you mean by that?
Well, it's a work which is not only hanging together by the presence of those four poems, which would make it more into some kind of cantata or a suite in four movements. I think that there are symphonic motives which are symphonically worked throughout the piece, and the piece hangs together as a musical entity, not only by the presence of the same performers through and through, but I would say following a much deeper tectonic principles and rules which are ingrained in the music itself. And also, like the great philosophical works such as Mahler Symphonies No. 2, No. 3, or Liszt's Faust Symphony, it's a work which represents some kind of a journey, like you would describe a human life as a journey from the cradle to the tomb. And there's an interesting presence of an organ, which only comes after the last words have been sung. So the last words of the baritone in the final movement, which describe the ritual bell bemoaning a person who has passed away. And after the last words, which could be translated as Requiem Aeternam, the eternal peace, the peace of death, which we only reach in the afterwards, suddenly the music changes from minor to major, and the organ comes in from above, but softly, almost like a salvation, as a faint belief in the life after death, which you can hear in there. And interestingly, this instrument was always omitted during the performances of this work in the Soviet Union.
Why?
Because they wanted to chase away any presence of religious idea from the music. It was very interesting that Rachmaninoff's music was completely banned in Soviet musical life after the revolution, because he was an emigre composer. And it was only after his death in 1943 that Stalin has given permission for his music to be performed again, because Rachmaninoff was helping the Soviet army with money during the war. I mean, he couldn't help being the patriot of his country, and although he was deeply anti-Bolshevist in his convictions and anti-Soviet, he was still grieving with the people of his country during the atrocities of the Second World War, was trying to help. And for that, he was sort of forgiven. And also, Stalin started writing an anti-formalist campaign in 1948 against those composers following the more modernist tendencies coming from the West, speaking of Prokofiev, Shostakovich, Khachaturian, and many others. So he used Rachmaninoff's music as an antidote to theirs. So Rachmaninoff was allowed to be performed because Rachmaninoff was relatively conservative. And yet there are obviously modernistic tendencies in Rachmaninoff's music, which at that time in 1913 were common for all of the composers, be it Stravinsky, be it Prokofiev, be it Debussy. They were all searching for something intangible in the afterlife or in the parallel life, in the non-tangible, non-terrestrial, those esoteric,
something mystical, spiritual?
Spiritual or mystical. They were all haunted by it. And this piece is, of all pieces, is probably the most spiritual and almost mystical in places. At the same time, the piece was being granted a performance right in the Soviet Union, but without the organ.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.